Members, please vote to signify their presence this morning. All members voted. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 senators present. Senators Vic Fisher, Kelly, Rohde, and Sackett are excused from the call of the Senate today.
May we stand for the invocation this morning?
Let us pray. O Lord, our Governor, bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to others. To the Governor of Alaska and to all in administrative authority, grant wisdom and grace in the exercise of their duties. To representatives and senators and those who make our laws, give courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of all our people and to fulfill our obligations to future generations. To the judges and officers of our courts, give understanding and integrity that human rights may be safeguarded and justice served. And finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. Amen.
Without objection, I'd ask that the prayer be spread on the journal. Are there guests for introduction? Thank you, Senator. Secretary.
I wish to certify the journal as to its correctness for the 67th legislative day.
Senator Ray.
Will the journal for the 67th legislative day be approved as certified?
Without objection. So ordered. Yes, for introduction. Senator.
Mr. President, Senators, I have a very good friend. In fact, probably she is one of the main reasons that I'm here today. A very good friend and constituent, Halinka Bryce, President Bryce Incorporated.
The message is from the governor.
Message of March 14. Dear Senator Curtula, I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 348, Finn, an act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date. Chapter 17, Session Laws 1984. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. That was the only message from the governor today.
Are the messages from the House?
There's nothing from the House.
Are there communications this morning?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 301, establishing a fur bearer management fund, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiewski, Dick Fisher, Eliason, and Ziegler. SB 301 has a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 315, Road Improvement Districts, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute Finn with a new title, a new fiscal note. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senator Fakes signed do pass. Signing no recommendation were Senators Mulcahy and Josephson. SB 315 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement.
Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 432, amending the Alaska Securities Act, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Rohde, and Sackett. Senator Pettyjohn signed do not pass. SB 432 has a further referral to Judiciary. Labor and Commerce considered Senate Bill Number 464, permitting the establishment of horizontal property regimes for mobile homes, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Eliason, Chairman, signed do pass. Signing no recommendation were Senators Pettyjohn, Mulcahy, and Rohde. Senator Sackett recommended send to Finance Committee because of AHFC impact. SB 464 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 491, Weights and Measures, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Pettyjohn, Sackett, Mulcahy, and Rohde. SB 491 has a further referral to Finance. Finance considered committee substitute for House Bill number 209, Rules, Classification of Personnel, and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senators Mulcahy and Josephson signed do pass. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. House Bill 209 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 343, Premarital Blood Tests, and House Bill number 537, Authorizing Municipalities to Exempt Motor Vehicles from Taxation, and recommends that they be calendared on March 16. Signed, Senator Fake's chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Ray, and Ferguson, and the Senate committee substitute be adopted on House Bill 537. Those do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
There is a report of a special committee.
The special committee, the conference committee on House Bill number 7, requests from Speaker Hayes and President Curtula limited powers of pre-conference on 13 items.
Those 13 items are on the desk of the senators. I will grant the limited pre-conference powers. Matter of the record and journal. Senator Gilman?
But, I don't believe we do have those.
You do not have them? Secretary of the Senate, read them.
Requests limited free powers on 1, clarification of who should be required to carry insurance, 2, requirement to provide information on the mandatory insurance law at the time of registration and licensure, 3, establishment of license reinstatement fee following suspension of a license, 4, expand and define the coverage intended to be offered as an uninsured and underinsured insurance, define the coverage of a liability insurance policy under the mandatory insurance law, establish adequate liability insurance must be demonstrated, 7, allow for an exemption in remote, isolated areas unless the motorist has a history of traffic violations. 8, define the method of demonstrating proof of insurance following an accident. 9, provide administrative revocation of driver's license and review the process to be followed prior to suspension. Add separability clause. 11, amend insurance code. Under insurance coverage required under the mandatory insurance law. 12, requirement of public education campaign prior to the law. 13, change in the effective date. Signed, Senators Eliason, Chairman, Mulcahy, and Vic Fisher. Representative Hayes, Chairman. Representatives Bussell and Wente.
I'll assign them powers of pre-conference on those limited subjects.
That was the only special committee report today.
There are no bills for introduction.
There are
resolutions for introduction.
Yes, sir. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 40 by the Labor and Commerce Committee relating to the appointment of a Transportation Safety Task Force.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 41 by the Labor and Commerce Committee relating to the economic deregulation of the transportation industry.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Those were the two new resolutions today.
Takes us to the daily calendar this morning. You have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent. We revert to introduction of guests.
Objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you. Like to introduce, I believe, a constituent of Senator Gilman and Senator Fisher's. Be making an announcement about the work she's connected with a little bit later on. But Vera Hollingshead is here with Affinity Films. They've produced a very dynamic film called No Word for Rape.
Secretary Reed, the first bill on the calendar, Senate Bill 343 by title, author, and committee report.
Senate Bill number 343 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to premarital blood tests and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Hallford and Vic Fisher. Senator Paul Fisher signed no recommendation. Senator Moss signed do not pass.
The bill is in second reading. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments. Senator Ray?
Move Senate Bill number 343 be considered engrossed and advanced third reading and place final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 343, an act relating to premarital blood tests and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion. You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill was introduced at the request of the state medical community. We have correspondence on it from Dr. Wilson, who supports the bill, the health director for Anchorage, and from other physicians representing the medical society and the medical viewpoint. And I might say that some 30 states have repealed the premarital blood test for syphilis. The reason for this is that, one of the reasons for this is that the procedure is simply not effective for any legitimate healthcare purpose. It has to be done under existing law, but thousands and thousands of tests are administered with nary a positive finding. And in addition to that, under Alaska Statute 1815, 150, 160, 170, and 180, a licensed physician, or in the absence of a licensed physician, a licensed graduate nurse attending a pregnant woman must perform a prenatal blood test unless the serological test is contrary to the tenets or practice of the religious creed of which the expectant mother is an adherent. Failure of the doctor or nurse to do that is actually a misdemeanor under Section 1815, 180. So the purpose of the test, that is, awareness of the problem from the standpoint of congenital disease, is covered under Chapter 15 of Title 18, and the premarital test serves no particular purpose. I think we had some, in one experience, something like 10,000 tests and one positive reading. This bill then would have Alaska join the some 30 states that have repealed this requirement. It would leave the other requirement on the books. I might finally say, Mr. President, this has nothing to do with other sexually transmitted diseases. Some people were concerned about what this would do vis-a-vis herpes and other things. It has nothing to do with that. And it is limited to the test for syphilis.
All right.
Well, Mr. President, I wonder if through the chair, the premarital certificate, is that the only thing that they have on that? The premarital certificate is the application or the notification of a blood test?
Is there a response?
I would ask if they, on the first page on line 14 and 15, shall file with the same licensed officer a premarital certificate. Is that the only thing that's on the premarital certificate as a blood test?
I can speak to the Hawaii practice, having just gone through that. I cannot speak to the Alaska practice. In the Hawaii practice, I'm an expert. There are questions about age, about names, about the desire, which names the parties will retain, addresses, prior marital experience, if any, dates of divorce and courts rendering divorce decrees, but there is no in that jurisdiction, no premarital test for syphilis. That's not why I chose the jurisdiction, I might say. Mr. President, I assume that the same procedure would be utilized here.
Well, Mr. President, if that's the case, then I think that possibly Section 3 is in violation of the title. The amendment on Section 3, line 14, which states any material fact has been misrepresented. And all this title deals with is a premarital blood test, so I think that perhaps it might be flawed.
You have the floor, Senator.
If the Senator wishes to change the title for that purpose, I have no objection.
Stand at ease. Senator Ray.
There has been a change in title. Perhaps the Secretary could read the change in title.
After page 1, the title. After the word tests, insert representations on marriage license applications or forms.
Senator Ray.
Move the title change.
No objection. This can be done in either reading. You have the floor, Senator. We are in
the Senator from Fairbanks made a point during the at ease, which I think I should relate also. Under the present practice, even if you take the premarital blood test for syphilis, and even if it is positive reading, you can still go ahead and be married. So that is another reason why the existing procedure is not particularly useful.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 343 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted this morning? Have all members voted?
No. Okay.
Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 2 nays, 1 absent, and 4 excused.
Bill has been adopted. Senator Ray, there is an effective date clause.
What was the effective date clause?
The question is, shall the effective date clause be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted this morning? Does any member wish to change the vote? Secretary, close.
Roll shows 14 yeas, 1 absent, and 4 excused.
Adopted. Next bill on the calendar is House Bill 537.
House Bill number 537.
Please. Secretary Reed, bill.
On the effective date vote on Senate Bill 343, there should have been 2 absent.
Thank you.
House Bill number 537 by Representative Grusendorf, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation and providing for an effective date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute. Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and Senator Sackett and Gilman signed do pass. Senator Hofford signed no recommendation. Finance Committee waived referral.
Are there amendments to the committee substitute?
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Senate Committee substitute CRA.
No objection, committee substitute. Objections noted.
The reason I object is I'd like to know. The only difference that I can see is on page 4, or on page 2, line 5, which says in the committee substitute, it puts in classify as to type. And I don't know if that's within the purview of a municipality to typify or type vehicles over and above that of which the state requires as motor vehicles.
You have the floor, Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, at the time we had the original bill before us, I asked the Department of Community and Regional Affairs whether that would allow, the original bill, would allow a municipality to differentiate between motor vehicles for tax purposes, such as snow machines, three-wheelers, private automobiles, commercial automobiles, etc. And the answer they gave me from their perspective of what direction they would give to the local assessors was no. This allows only the broad classification of motor vehicles. I went to Mr. Barrier asking the question, and he read the law that Mr. Grusendorf, Representative Grusendorf, had put in as I did, that it would have allowed the municipality the broad discretion. But he said to keep it from being a dispute between the state assessor's office and local assessor's office, we should put in the other language, which is classify as to type, so it makes it absolutely clear that the municipality can go in and classify different types of motor vehicles and exempt them or partially exempt them from taxation.
Objections withdrawn. Substitute's adopted. Secretary Reed, title.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 537, CNRA, by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
Mr. President.
You have the floor,
Senator. We have a brief at ease, please.
We'll be at ease.
Mr. Ambassador Wilson.
We are prepared. There are no further amendments.
I'm going to ask unanimous consent the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 537 and the Committee on Regional Affairs be considered gross advance third reading and place in final passage.
There's no objection. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 537, CNRA, an act authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Gilman, you have the floor.
Mr. President, just one brief remark. The major purpose of this bill is to allow a municipality to exempt certain types of motor vehicles. The reason for that, Mr. President, is many times the municipalities are spending more money to try to collect the tax than they get back. And this allows them to exempt some of the smaller types of motor vehicles from taxation so they don't have to spend forever and a day going out looking for that tax dollar.
Bill is before you. Ready for the question?
Question
is, shall House Bill 537 shall be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 11 yeas, 4 nays, 1 absent, 4 excused.
Bill's been adopted by the Senate. Senator Ray.
Move the effective date clause, Mr. President.
Effective date clause. Question is, shall effective date clause be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Senator, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 1 absent, 4 excused.
The bill has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. The publication notice requirement on the citation honoring Dean Osmar be waived and the citation be taken up as special order of business at this time.
Without objection.
Citation honoring Dean Osmar, Iditarod winner, by Senators Gilman, Paul Fisher, Fahrenkamp, and Hallford, and Representatives Fritz, Malone, and Cato.
We have a correction there, Mr. President, on the second line of the second paragraph. It should be March 16th, I think. And then we're getting a little too mushy here on the next paragraph. And instead of mushy trail conditions, why don't we just put uncertain, because in the next paragraph you got it mushed to Nome and then today's mushers, and it's a little too mushy.
The Secretary correct those. Those are good suggestions. Senator Halford was seeking the floor. Ready for the question? The question was posed. Senator Ray.
There are no other additions or corrections, Mr. President. I move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Citation has been adopted, honoring Dean Osmar. Takes us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business this morning? Announcement of committee meetings. Resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, a reminder, 1:30 today, the Subcommittee of Resources on Energy will be meeting in Belton with the participants in the Four Dam Pool. At 3 o'clock, Senate Resources Committee will meet in Belts. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 202, Senate Bill 473, and Senate Bill 479. They've been previously posted.
Finance Chairman.
On Wednesday, the 21st of March at 9 a.m., Finance Committee will take up House Bill 39, Services for Pregnant Women.
Are there further? You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
First, Mr. President, thank you. I'd like to announce that at noon today in the Butrovich Room, if I may, there will be a showing of the film No Word for Rape, produced by Affinity Film. Senator Strzelczyk introduced here Hollingshead earlier, who is a producer of that film. The purpose of the film is to make the public aware of the emotional and cultural difficulties encountered by rape victims. The film has been nationally acclaimed and is 28 minutes in length. Mr. President, at 3 o'clock, the Hess Committee will take up Senate Bill 484 regarding social service funding in the usual room.
Thank you very much. Rules, Chairman.
Yes, Mr. President, the Hess Subcommittee on the Health and Social Services Budget will begin closeout tomorrow morning at 10 to 12 in the Senate Finance Room.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. President, along the same line that the Education Subcommittee on the Budget will be working Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 on its closeouts.
Education Subcommittee 1 to 3. Judiciary Chairman?
The Juno Douglas Unit of the American Cancer Society, we will be holding their annual St. Patrick Day's cocktail reception tomorrow, Saturday, March 17th, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. in the Gold Room of the Baranoff Hotel. There will be live music, Irish songs, a hosted bar, as well as an auction. Tickets, but not the bar, are $15 and tax deductible. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to come and support your American Cancer Society.
Items under special orders. Senator Joseph.
I request privilege of the floor to speak on the December conference on Alaska schools.
There's no objection.
Mr. President, I have handed to the President today, and it's available for other senators, an evaluation of the Alaska Schools and Public Policy Conference held in December under auspices of the Senate Hess Committee and the Alaska Department of Education. 793 registrants attended the conference. Approximately 55%, based on the responses, were teachers. About 25% were school administrators. About 12% were school board members. There was, in reaction to the questionnaire that we submitted, a completion rate of 19.6%, which is a low response rate. The Department of Education thinks that the questionnaire I prepared was probably too long for the attention span of the participants. But, Mr. President, what is interesting is that 90% of the respondents gave the conference a good or excellent rating, and not one respondent gave the conference a poor rating. That material is available for interested senators, as well as the comments of those who attended as to how Alaska public education can be improved. I have extra copies of the report, and I want to express my appreciation not only to you for your role in making the conference possible again, but to the Office of Planning and Research of the Department of Education, which collated all the responses and prepared this booklet. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I ask the privilege of the floor to discuss a letter I had sent to the Division of Elections yesterday.
You have the privilege, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. No, Senator Lassen, I didn't get an answer to my last one. As you may recall, when I was kindly given a form to withdraw as a candidate for the Senate, I responded by letter stating I considered the apportionment illegal, the reapportionment of the governor illegal, and didn't feel obliged in any way to withdraw my candidacy or take any other action. And that was the end of it for me. I can understand why some others may not have shared my view, but since then it's come to my attention. And not only is that what is the plan illegal because it violated the court order and was unconstitutional, but also the plan is and cannot possibly go into effect until it has received the approval of the Department of Justice. This is under the Voting Rights Act, which covers the state of Alaska. And so I've sent a letter to Ms. Miners pointing this out to her, that under federal law and Supreme Court decisions, which are clearly on point, that she has no authorization to tell anybody to do anything under this new plan because it has no legal effect until it has been approved by the Department of Justice. I understand that they have sent the plan in about 2 weeks ago to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has an additional 6 weeks to take the plan under consideration, and they are doing it at this present time, I am informed. So for the benefit of those in this body or the other body or other candidates for office, the donut does not exist legally, and will not until it has been approved by the Department of Justice. The district's changes that have been made are not legal. They have no legal effect, and I am requesting that the letter that Ms. Miner sent out be withdrawn and that an apology be given to everybody who was confused and misled by this erroneous legal advice, which I am willing to concede was simply the result of inattention to the law rather than disregard for it. But in any event, I do expect a response from this letter I've directed to her, and I will advise the senator when I get it. Thank you.
Senator Lyons.
Mr. President, under special orders, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak about Paul Harvey, Dean Osmar, and Susan Butcher.
You have the floor, Senator.
This morning, like many of you who turned the radio on, I suspect you heard that Mr. Osmar had won the Iditarod race. He came in first at Nome slightly after midnight last night. Later on in the morning, I heard that Susan Butcher came in 5 hours later. She's second place.
And then a little later, heard Paul Arbery on his national broadcast saying, in effect, that the race was over and that this man had came in, and he mentioned Mr. Osmore at a little after midnight, and second place came in 5 hours later. Now, it seems to me that was a golden opportunity for Mr. Harvey to say that Susan Butcher, a female, won second place, but he neglected to do that, so I think he's a chauvinist. Thank you very much. Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I ask unanimous consent that I might speak under special orders concerning a newspaper article by Joe LaRocca.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, it pains me to go into this, but I think a sense of decency and conscience requires me to speak about an article in the All Alaska Weekly in which the headline over the story by Joe LaRocca is Dankworth Lobby's Purchase of Whittier Building for Prison. Mr. President, in the debate about prisons, and I think reasonable people can disagree about the merits of that question, former Senator Dankworth's name has come up, and I think that in fairness to him, a few comments should be made by me. In the first place, people forget, Mr. President, that Mr. Dankworth has every right to be a lobbyist, registered as a lobbyist, is an Alaskan citizen of some expertise in the matter of corrections and law enforcement, gave his working life to that field, and that the employer of Mr. Dankworth has every right to engage him. There's nothing wrong about it, and it seems to me particularly untimely that these criticisms come up, or insinuations of wrongdoing come up, at the very time in history when the charges against Mr. Dankworth are dismissed. I really take that very hard, and I think it's inappropriate, and I think that the interesting thing about it is that in one of the earlier articles, a group of senators were apparently interviewed by the press, and they said, well, we have never been contacted by Mr. Dankworth, and that makes us speculate who else he's talking to. It should have made them speculate about why he wasn't talking to them or probably anybody else. As the article from Mr. LaRocca says, and he's correct in this, Mr. Dankworth did not talk to me at all. And I'm gratified to Mr. LaRocca for saying that. But he had every right to talk to me, and he would be welcome to talk to me. And any time Ed Dankworth wants to talk to me, either as a lobbyist or as an Alaskan citizen, about any issue in the Senate, and especially about law enforcement and corrections issues, my door is going to be open to him. And I think I owe him that, and I hope every other senator feels the same way. I just hope, Mr. President, that we can address these issues on the merits, respect our rights to disagree with one another, and proceed from there. And I'm sorry that the merits of the question are being obscured by these kinds of references. Thank you.
Senator Farrenkamp.
Brief at ease.
Senator Joseph has the floor.
Mr. President, if we can revert to announcements, there will be a leadership caucus on adjournment.
Objection. Senator Strzelczewski is seeking the floor.
Yes, may we revert to introduction as well?
Without objection.
Yes, thank you. Longtime constituent of Senator Ziegler's and a longtime friend of mine. Her husband has gone to school with mine. Grace Craig is here from Petitia.
Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, I've been up and down so many times already. I'm constrained to make a few remarks now. If I have the privilege of the floor to make a few remarks on a topical subject.
I'm sure. Senator Ray, you have the floor.
Well, Mr. President, it seems like I'm always in the posture of admonishing or correcting my good friend from Anchorage, my fellow member in the judiciary. He remarked today about how bad Ms. Miners is and how she should be more careful. And I would think that, too, the chain of command, Ms. Miners works for the lieutenant governor directly, and he is the one that puts out the proclamations as far as the reapportionment is concerned. And I would think that possibly he would do better to go see the lieutenant governor and place his case before him, and he'd probably get faster action. Also, while I did admonish him yesterday to sleep with one eye open, today I'm constrained to remind him of the old legal saw, a person who hires himself as a lawyer who's got a client for the jackass for a client or something, something along those lines. Oh, well, if there's nothing else to come before the Senate.
I move we adjourn till 11 a.m. Monday.